This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Smithfield Foods and the United Food and Commercial Workers International Union jointly announced a settlement on Monday that ended Smithfield's racketeering and extortion lawsuit against the union. Smithfield agreed to allow the workers at their plant in Tar Heel to vote on a union representation. The Tar Heel plant is the largest pork processing facility in the world. It employs almost 5,000 workers. WUNC reporter Dave DeWitt has been covering the Smithfield story. He joins me in the studio now. Hello, Dave.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. Tell us what we know about this deal.
Very little. I mean, we know there is a deal in place, and the elements of the deal, which are really important, we don't know. And the most important element of that is we know they're going to have an election. We don't know when. But how that election is conducted, how the workers at that Tar Heel plant decide to vote or not vote for a union is up in the air. We don't know. And they probably won't release that information for quite a while.
How they vote? I mean, there are options. What are the options for
right.
the kind of election?
This has been the sticking point for ever since 2004 when the NLRB upheld its own decision against Smithfield, and they said, well, you need to have an election now, and it's been 4 years, and they can't agree, the union and the and Smithfield. Smithfield has said, oh, you can have an election. It'll be just like the other elections, but we won't intimidate this time, even though they were found guilty of doing that before. And it would just be like an election like we're about to have on Tuesday, where the union, the employees would walk in, they'd get a ballot, they'd check off probably yes or no for the union, and they'd place the ballot in a box, and then they'd go to work. The UFCW does not want this kind of election. They want what's called a card check, where over a period of time, employees can just simply sign a card that would say that they want the union, and they can turn that in at any time over a period of time. So it's not a single election. So it's harder to intimidate employees, the thinking is, into voting one way or the other. So Smithfield has been against that since 2004 and all the way before that. That's what the UFCW wants. What we don't know, obviously, is which one of those options or some hybrid option that they've come to an agreement on, if they have.
And this would sound like a simple solution. I mean, the ballot solution, which is this secret ballot, you vote yes or no and you put it in a box. That's what Smithfield wants. They've had two of those.
Mm-hmm.
In both cases, the NLRB has found them guilty of various violations having to do with intimidating workers, police coming around the day of the election, that sort of thing. On the other side, this checkoff, sign a card if you want it. That card is handed to you by a union representative, and they're standing right there looking at you. And so what Smithfield has been saying is, well, that's intimidation. You've got a union rep standing there handing you the card and waiting to take it back.
Right. And there's even been mistrust of what might be an independent group that would come in and do this election. They can't come to an agreement on that, whether it's a government function or whether it's an independent group of some kind that does voter elections like this. The two sides have not been able to come to a conclusion on that. So it's news, quite a bit of news, that they've come to some understanding of either they've decided what kind of election they're going to have or they've decided they're going to come to a decision on that, because the agreement that this does, it ends this RICO lawsuit, is all based on that one fact.
So let's talk about this lawsuit and what's involved there.
Well, the RICO lawsuit was sort of the latest strategy employed by Smithfield in this long-running debate and battle between these two groups. And what it was they filed it last year, last October. The UFCW had started this campaign. They called it the Justice at Smithfield campaign. And it had what they did was they implemented a major marketing effort, essentially. Mm. About that time, Smithfield hired a woman named Paula Deen, who's a chef, well-known on the Food Network. And so this marketing campaign started to target her, started to go to her events, her book signings, as the sort of face of Smithfield. They also went around to a lot of state and city governments and said, here's what's going on in this plant in North Carolina. You should not have Smithfield products in your stores. Well, the entire state of Massachusetts said, you're right. We're not going to have Smithfield foods in our stores here anywhere. So that really got the attention of Smithfield. They claimed then in this lawsuit that the RICO statutes, which were obviously put in place to fight organized crime, racketeering, applied here perfectly, they said. It applied. Intimidation was being used. This marketing campaign was across state lines. It was illegal. Legal scholars have argued this ever since Smithfield sort of put this in play last year. And actually, some legal experts are a little disappointed that this thing is not going to go to trial, because they were very interested to see how far the RICO statutes went and impeded on some sort of freedom of speech statutes, right, or laws, or, you know, constitution. So like I said, some legal scholars a little disappointed, but the RICO lawsuit went forward. A judge said it could go forward, and then the day that they were supposed to start the trial, this past Monday, the agreement came out.
And that came as a little bit of a surprise because, you know, the conventional wisdom is a corporation as large as Smithfield can take on a union, and if they take you to court, boy, they can drain your treasury and game over. So there was a, it was a bit of a surprise to see a settlement.
Well, some analysts and lawyers and legal scholars and national, you know, and labor relations professors, a couple of them have said in print and elsewhere that they think that maybe the union forced this agreement because they are running out of money and they don't have the opportunity to keep going with this lawsuit. Others have speculated the exact opposite, that this was Smithfield that went ahead and pushed this agreement simply because they might be able to see the handwriting on the wall coming. You know, the NLRB found against it all during the Bush administration years, not when the NLRB, National Labor Relations Board, was out really aggressively seeking these things. They figure if they lose those, an Obama administration would be even less likely to come down on their side in these kinds of disagreements. So there were a lot of sort of macro things going on that forced this agreement. What we don't know is exactly which one of those played out as you know, the sort of we would know if we sort of knew what these parameters were around this election. We'd have a better idea of which side so-called caved first.
Now, you have this fight to represent union or represent workers who are not in a union right now at Tar Heel. Tar Heel, as we said, the largest pork processing plant in the world, about 5,000 employees. UFCW would like to represent them. Smithfield obviously doesn't want this to happen. And you had a chance to visit that plant. Give us a sense of what goes on there and what that's like.
Well, the plant is huge, and it is away from any industrialized area or you know, center of activity. It's in Tar Heel, North Carolina, a very sort of standard one stoplight town. It's right up against the Cape Fear River in Bladen County in the southeast part of the state. And you walk in and they tell you it's a hog processing plant. This isn't a gentle place. And you go in and they have a big board there with a number written on it, 32,000, for example. That's the number of hogs they'll process that day. And you go in and it's very repetitive work. People start off, when they start off working there, they start off on the line. There's about 5,000 employees, give or take, a couple hundred. And they do one thing and they do it over and over all day. There's not a lot of moving around. A lot of it is knife work, very close to other people. It's dangerous work, and it's dirty work, and it's repetitive, and you get a lot of repetitive stress injuries and a lot of knife wounds and punctures. And how those people were taken care of, whether they were fired out of hand or whether they were taken now, they have a health clinic right across the street that they take people to. Turnover is extremely high. Some people say it's 100% annually. In other words, they hire 5,000 new people every year. And how the employee base is made up has changed dramatically in the 15 years since this plant was built. It started off with a lot, you know, a racial breakdown that might be 50-50 white and black, and then it's shifted to more African American. And now there was a big bubble of Hispanic employees that came in. That bubble has sunk since they've had some immigration issues at the plant, and they've hired more people, and they've had to continually widen out the net from which they will draw employees. There are people who drive there all the way from near the Atlantic Ocean, Wilmington. They drive 50 miles. There are people in South Carolina. Certain people are hired with vans to go out and collect folks because they do have to hire a lot of people. Not many people last there very long. If they do, they're able to advance out of these repetitive injury-type places where they happen a lot and get into some sub-management positions.
And that's one of the reasons the union has said we need to represent these workers. They say it's very dangerous work. There are a lot of injuries, and the company hasn't been very good about taking care of their people. Company counters and says, we built that health facility right across the street. It's ours. We staff it. We build it. And we send people there when they get hurt.
And Smithfield claims that the injury rate is right up against the national average. It's not higher than that. They say they take care of their employees well. And they produced some employees for me there when I visited that said, yes, they do take care of us well. Obviously, I found some other employees who had left or some who still work there. I found them off of the plant. And they said, no, Smithfield does not take very good care. The NLRB found in 1994-97, the elections that occurred, that there was intimidation going on. There used to be a security force at this plant that a lot of people said got out of control in trying to control some of these things. Smithfield says they've gotten that under control now. You know, it's a hog processing plant. It's not a place where a lot of people want to work if they don't have to. There's a reason they put it in this part of the country and in this part of the state. North Carolina has, I believe it's now 3 hogs for every single person that lives here. Mm-hmm. So this is an important facility for the company.
Tell us now what happens next. You said there's no date for the election. Any idea when that might happen?
Well, you would expect it to be sooner rather than later because this has been a long-going dispute, and I think both sides want to see it ended. Smithfield wants to get this off the newspaper and off the airwaves. And the UFCW, this has been a big thing they've done almost since the day the doors opened. This has been their target to try and get this plant unionized. They feel very strongly that a union at this plant in a state with the lowest unionization rate in the country and at this plant with a Smithfield company that's been pretty hostile to unionization, although elsewhere 50% of their employees are unionized. So if they can get this done and get unionized here, they believe it's sort of a resurgence then for unions across the country. Whether that's true or not will remain to be seen, but you would think that this is going to happen sooner rather than later because of, if for no other reason, because the elections and the Obama administration possibly coming in January.
Dave, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Dave DeWitt is a reporter here at North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC. Just ahead, Chasing Ghosts on Halloween. You're listening to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay with us.